This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. We're going to take our copy of God's Word, or iPad, iPhone, whatever you have, your Bible, if you don't have any of that. They're here on the screens. This is what the Bible says in Joshua. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, literally, folks, the Jordan River, and many of you have been to Israel with me, and I've baptized many of you in the Jordan River, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? What meaneth these stones? You shall let your children know, saying, Israel came up over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. You know what God wants to do in my life and in your life? He wants all the people of the earth to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Wait. You say, so that means good things are going to happen to me. That's not what I said. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God will get more glory out of your life during the hardships than he will in the good times. Always remember that. He's the lily of the valley. He's the lily. A lily's not that high, and it's in the valley. He'll be more real. He'll be more real to you in the difficult times of life than he ever will be in the good times if you will allow him to be. You'll find him, you'll find God on a different level in hardships, in adversity, than you ever will in good times. That you might fear the Lord your God forever. I want to preach a message, a textual message, just out of that one portion of Scripture that says, what meaneth these stones? What meaneth these stones? Now, let me give you the background to the story. The children of Israel come to the Jordan River. The Jordan River is at flood stage. They get there, and God dries up the river so they can cross. But God says to Joshua, Joshua, you've seen what I've done. Now I want you to take 12 stones. It's dry. It's going to be pretty easy for you and the men to go in there and get those 12 stones. And I want you to put them on the other side of the river. Because what's going to happen? There's going to come a time that young people, get this down. Young people are going to say, what is this pile of stones here? And you can remind them what the Lord did. You can tell them how the Lord was faithful. You can tell them about the goodness of God. I never noticed until preparing this message how often God did that. I never thought about in Genesis chapter 28, there was a man by the name of Jacob, and he wanted to get some rest. And he didn't have one of those my pillows. So the Bible says that he took a stone and he put his head, he used that stone for a pillow. But God came to him there. And God worked in Jacob's life right there. And Jacob never got over it. So he took that stone, ladies and gentlemen, and he set it up, and he took oil and he poured it on that stone, because he said, this stone is a reminder, because right here is where I met God. Right here is where I met God. I wonder sometimes, folks, do we need all these trinkets around us, or perhaps do we need thinkets around us? Perhaps we need some things to remind us of what God has done in our lives. Perhaps we need some reminders of how good God has been to us. Maybe get rid of some of the trinkets and get some of the thinkets and place them around us. And then, folks, I began to read on. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Israelites defeated the Philistines. And they shouldn't have won that battle. And God says to Samuel, you put some stones over there. You put some stones over there as a memorial, and let it be a reminder that God helped you. And call this place Ebenezer, which means the Lord helped us. Now here's the gist of the story. God said to Joshua, put those stones over there, because I want young people. I want young people to see those stones. And I want them to be reminded. I want them to know what the Lord has done. This is not the message, but I want you to understand something. There's three people that every person here needs in your life. Every person listening to me needs in your life. First of all, you need a Paul in your life. You need a Paul. You remember what Corinthians said? Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. What are you talking about, Pastor? You need a Paul in your life. You need somebody in your life who's been to a spiritual place that you're not at. You need somebody who's farther along in the relationship with the Lord than you are. You need a Paul in your life. Now, if you're a female, perhaps you need a Paulette, but you need somebody. You need somebody in your life who's been where you haven't been. You need a Paul. But there's a second person you need in your life. You need a Barnabas. So what are you talking about, Barnabas? Well, his name in Acts 4 and 36 means encouragement. And you need somebody in your life that just encourages you. You say, well, I've got to have somebody to confront me. Paul will do that. You need somebody who's just going to encourage you. Because, see, folks, we're kind of like the little boy. He said, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw and you say wonderful. Amen? Every person responds to praises and raises. And for that reason, we need a Barnabas in our life. We need somebody that believes in us. We need somebody that encourages us. You say, Pastor Benny, how do I know if a person needs encouragement? Here's how you know: if they're breathing. Because everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs to be lifted up. Everybody needs a boost. Everybody. There's nothing wrong, folks, with bragging on somebody and encouraging somebody and lifting people up. By the way, that's what church ought to be about anyway, according to Hebrews 10 and 25. But lastly, and I'll get on with the message, you need a Timothy in your life. Paul had a young man that he was pouring into. He had a young man, my son in the faith. And every person needs a young person that you're pouring into. Every person needs a young person that you're pouring, you're investing your life in. Now here's a story. The Bible says that those stones will pile up, and one day there'll be an old man. There'll be an old man. And he'll be sitting by those stones. And a young man is going to walk up. Or a young lady. A young person's going to walk up. And they're going to say, what do these stones mean? And that old man's going to say, let me tell you, boy. Let me tell you what these stones mean. First of all, these stones mean that God is interested in the next generation. God is interested in the next generation. Folks, we don't ever want to become such a stick in the mud that we're not concerned about the next generation. We don't ever want to become that we're not willing to change anything, even if it means reaching the next generation. God's interested in young people. God's interested in the church going on. That's why he said, you tell the young people about these stones. Let me say something. I'm interested in the next generation. I'm interested in the next generation. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, things have changed at Rock Springs Church. Things have changed, and the music's changed some, and I don't totally like it. Well, listen to me closely. There's not but one person responsible, and you're looking at him right now. I'm responsible. Nobody to get upset at but Benny Tate. And I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you what broke my heart. We were in church one time, and we were singing When We All Get to Heaven. And my little girl was in that service. And I looked at that little girl that I love better than life. She was just standing there. And I thought, that little girl wants to go to, for some reason, University of Georgia. And she'll graduate there. Then she'll go on to Vanderbilt. She'll work with young people. One day she's going to get married. She's going to have the best looking grandson in the world. Probably name him Benjamin. I don't know that I was thinking all that. But I was thinking, there sits that young girl. And we're singing about when we get to heaven. And she's planning on living a life. And I said, God, I'm losing my daughter. And he said, you're losing thousands of others with her. You're losing thousands of others with her. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in the next generation. I'm not saying the next generation's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm saying we ought to do whatever we can to reach the next generation, and we ought to tell them about the stones. That's why this year we went out, and in my 30 years of pastoring here, we've never had a college and career pastor. 30 years, never have. But I'm so glad this year that God sent us a wonderful individual, Clay Chastain. Clay's such a godly man, and he's making an impact. He's being a Paul in the life of Timothy's and those young people. They're at a crucial age. They're at that college and career age. But he was telling me the other day, he said, Pastor, we had a function. I said, did you have any? We didn't have anything. Clay, did you have any college and career age people to come? He said, Pastor, we had 76 that came to the function. We had 76 that came to the function. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in the next generation. I'm interested in pouring everything I've got and everything I know into young people. We have a school here, Rock Springs Christian Academy. They said, Pastor, do you know about the fall? I said, no. Tell me, what's happened this fall? They said, this fall at Rock Springs Christian Academy, we've had over 30 students to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thank God for a school that we can tell young people about Jesus, and Jesus saves, and Jesus changes people's lives. We launched a program here at our church, and by the way, folks, I never went to anything but a public school my entire life. I was in the bottom half that made the top half possible. All I went to was a public school. And this year in our church, we launched a Kids Hope USA. And what Kids Hope USA is, it's people in our church where they go into the public school system and they just mentor boys and girls in the public school system. They just talk to them about character. They just talk to them about godliness. They just talk to them about being a quality individual. Our teen and middle school ministry called Fuse. It thrilled my heart to learn that this year, just this year, folks, 2019, through our youth ministry, 135 students prayed to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That young man said to that old man, what do these stones represent? And he said, I'll tell you what those stones represent. They represent that God is interested in the next generation. God is interested in the next generation. And by the way, we ought to be interested in the next generation. Thomas Paine said, if there must be trouble, let it be in my lifetime that my children may have peace. Tell you the second thing. He said, boy, I'll tell you something else about these stones. These stones represent that God still answers prayer. He said, what do you mean God still answers prayer? He said, well, my people, the Israelis, they were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. But look what happened. They cried out. They cried out, and God heard their cry. God heard their cry. They were in bondage. They were slaves, but God heard their cry. Let me tell you something that you probably don't even know about. Maybe perhaps you do. But we have a campus down Macon, and we had gone into a facility on Zebulun Road, and we were there, and we'd been there about a month. And they came to me and said, we got some bad news, Pastor. I said, bad news? We just spent a lot of money. What are you talking about? We just spent a lot of money on that campus. We just made that gymnasium into a sanctuary. What do you mean, bad news? They said, well, there's 210 acres here, and it's all for sale. I said, for sale? They said, yeah, $10 million. $10 million. Probably a developer will buy this. Turn it into residential housing. They may buy it commercially and use it for businesses, but it's right here. This property's prime, Pastor. And I began to think, oh, my God, it's probably going to close our Macon campus. And those people at Macon, they started doing something. They started praying for a Macon miracle. So every Friday, they would walk around that campus, and they would pray for a Macon miracle. God, we don't want to leave here. We believe you sent us here. God, we don't want to believe here. We believe you sent us here. God, we don't want to leave here. We believe, God, you sent us here. And I get a call, and they say, Pastor, it's been sold. I said, oh, my goodness. They said, no, Pastor, it's not bad. It's not bad. The Rescue Mission of Middle Georgia. The Rescue Mission of Middle Georgia. What they do is they take men and women in that are destitute. They take women with children that have nowhere else to go, and they house them, and they feed them, and they disciple them. They help them. They help to restore their lives. They've got a great program. They provide food. They provide shelter. They provide a program. But, Pastor, they say they need a church, and they sure don't want us to leave. They want to do a long-term agreement because they want us to stay right there. They want that campus to be right there. I'll tell you what, folks. Oh, boy. Let me tell you. These stones represent that God still answers prayer. He said, well, I need to go. He said, no, don't hurry. Don't hurry. Don't hurry. I need to tell you what else these stones represent. These stones represent that God saves by the blood. That God saves by the blood. He said, kind of explain that to me. He said, well, let me explain. He said, my people were in bondage in Egypt. They were in slaves. They were slaves. But they prayed, and God heard their prayer and decided he was going to deliver them. And God said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to cause a disturbance. I'm going to cause a disturbance there in Egypt. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to smite the firstborn of Egypt. I'm talking about the firstborn child of Egypt and the firstborn animal in every Egyptian family. This is going to cause chaos. But he said, I'll tell you what. God said, I'm going to cause this chaos, but I'm not going to smite my people. So this is what I ask my people to do. You take a lamb without spot, without blemish. You put the blood right above the door. You put the blood on each side of the door. Above the door, each side of the door, the cross. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you when I see the blood. Now, listen, folks, I'm not opposed to anybody being a Methodist, a Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. None of that matters anyway. All matters, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood? Let me tell you something. Through the ministries of Rock Springs Church, this year, 1,490 people got washed in the blood. See, I'm preaching to a campus, but what you don't know, two of the campuses that I preach to are actually correctional institutions. You say, Pastor, what? Hey, so you don't feel bad? My biological father spent time in prison. I would have been there too if I'd got called, amen? My biological father spent time in prison. I want you to understand something. We take the gospel into those. We have campuses there. They have worship teams. They teach the Bible. I've had the wonderful, me and I want you to know, it's a wonderful privilege of mine to come down there and baptize you because you've given your lives to Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm sure glad Macon campus didn't close. I sure am glad it didn't close, because this year, 79 people at the Macon campus gave their life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Macon. Impact Christian Ministries, one of our campuses. This year alone, 131 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ at Impact. He said, let me tell you, boy, what these stones represent. That God's interested in the next generation. Let me tell you what these stones represent. That God answers prayer. Let me tell you what these stones represent. That God saves by the blood. But he said, let me tell you something else, boy. These stones represent that God supplies our every need. God supplies. He said, let me tell you about my people, boy. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. What should have been an 11-day trip was 40 years. They spent 40 years, boys, circling 285. But the whole time they was in the wilderness, God met their every need. When they needed water, God caused water to come up out of a rock. When they needed food, well, God just, sunbeam bread came down from heaven. They got to wanting a little meat, and God just blew some quail in. What they had clothes. This is what the Bible says, folks. You can read it. Their clothes didn't wear out. You read the Bible. You read it. Their clothes, literally, they had a jacket like I've got, and it lasted 40 years. Now, my mind's always, it just blows my mind that their shoes, and it never wore out. I mean, it was a miracle. Can you imagine, you had this little baby, and you put booties on the baby's feet. And the Bible says, as their feet grew, those booties grew. So you had a 40-year-old man with those booties on. That's what the Bible says. I want you to know, boy, these stones represent that God meets our every need. And by the way, folks, God is your source. God is your source. God is your source. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is your source. God is your source. And God has used Rock Springs Church. Do you realize, folks, Impact Christian Ministries, which we're part of, it's a ministry, it's one of our campuses, this year provided 26,000 hot meals for people. 26,000 hot meals for people. Here on our campus, we have the Rock Springs Clinic. This year, God blessed us to expand the clinic. Now, who's it for? It's for people who don't have insurance, people who have no recourse. They can come there, they can get medical treatment, they can get medicine, they can get direction. Literally, this year, 5,249 people came. So many came, we said we've got to add on, we've got to expand it. We added on so much, we went to Forsyth, Georgia, and we started another clinic simply because we want to minister and we want to reach people. Let me tell you this. The medicine, the treatment, the hours, the care that was given through that clinic this year was $6,150,458 through the clinics of Rock Springs Church. Now, let me say, for every one person that's under a doctor's care for physical problems, three people are under a doctor's care for emotional problems. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, our counseling department saw 929 different people. Because of your generosity, we were able to sponsor 150 kids through the empty stocking fund. I'll get this, and then I'll move on to the next point. A principal calls me. And the principal says, we've got a problem in our public school. I said, what's your problem in your public school? He said, outstanding lunch accounts. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. People, we form opinions about other people that many times are not true. We form opinions that are many times not true. All my life I went to a public school. I remember being at Altamont Elementary. And all those eating free lunch, raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Benny Tate. Free lunch. I said, what do you mean? School accounts, outstanding accounts. He said, we have students that can't pay their accounts, Pastor. And he said, what happens, though, we're not going to let them go hungry. We're going to give them a cheese toast, and we're going to give them an apple. I said, what happens when you give them the cheese toast and the apple? They eat it, but they get made fun of. I said, listen. No more cheese toast. No more apple. Rock Springs Church will take care of everything. Rock Springs Church. God has been so good, folks, to supply. We needed a worship leader in the branch, and God sent us a wonderful worship leader, Jeremy Marsh. Sent us a wonderful. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what I said? He said, Pastor Benny, I was a druggie, but I want you to know Jesus Christ set me free. Jesus Christ changed my life. Jesus Christ helped me. I'm a victor and not a victim because of the power of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You don't have to resort back to that. Jesus is greater than any of that. I said, God, I can't oversee a school. I can't oversee a school and a church. And I said, God, I need a headmaster. I need a godly. We prayed, and God sent us a wonderful godly headmaster that I love with all my heart. His name's Mr. Bruce Reagan. Now, he's a northerner, but I love this man. God will forgive you for being a northerner, amen? Then I've always believed that, Lord, I just raise up young people. So a young man in our church, and I guess I was there at the hospital when he was born, Davis Varner, he just went to church here with us, and God knows what we need. And he sent us, and he does a good job working for us. Think about this, folks. I'm just trying to brag on what the Lord's done. This year, we built a $1.2 million right up the road. If you hadn't been up there, you need to get you. If you hadn't been up there, may you find dead flies in your racing brand. If you hadn't at least driven up there and seen it, may you experience the fleas of 10,000 camels in your bed tonight. If you hadn't, oh, folks, you got to go up there and see that. You just got to go up there and see that beautiful complex. 1.2 million paid in full, paid in full, paid in full, paid in full. God supplying every need. I'm preaching today. I'm preaching. Listen, I literally, between services, will get my phone and look at the text. And people say, I'm watching you here. I'm watching you here. I'm in the service here. I'm in the service there. And folks, that's because we was able to dedicate a new broadcast suite this year. Just totally dedicate it and take the gospel all over the world. Because God told me that we're supposed to reach the nations. God told me that one church can change a world. It's always been on my heart to put a cross. You hear me, folks? Barbara knows this, and I've always said this. I've said this to my staff. I never want to drive down the road. It's everybody to their own. But I never want to drive down the road and on these billboards and you see my face. I don't want that. I said, Barbara, I never want that. And Barbara says, I dad blame sure don't want that. I said, Barbara, even when I'm gone, I don't want a statue. I don't want anything like that. Folks, we don't need for men. We need it for Jesus. We need a cross to Jesus. We need a cross to Jesus. And I said, I want to put that cross. I want the cross of Christ. I want the cross of Christ. And I knew, somebody said, Pastor, what's it going to cost? Are you going to be able to do it? Well, it's going to cost $200,000. $200,000. I think we're going to make it, because right now we're at $330,000. He said, I've heard enough. And he said, no. Boy, sit back down. There's one other thing I want to tell you about these stones. Lastly, let these stones remind you that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, the Bible said, God promised the children of Israel, I'm going to bring you out. God said, I'm going to bring you out of that bondage. By the way, folks, somebody said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. No. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. It's already settled. Amen? If God said an elephant's going to lay an egg, you can get your skillet. Amen? It's already done. See, God made a promise. He made a promise in Matthew. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And here's something, I'm almost done, but here's something we miss. God said he'd build his church. He'd build it. He'd build it. What's our role? What's your role? What's my role? Our role is to build people. And if we build people, God will build his church. You just build people. You just concentrate on people. See, I've been doing this a long time, folks. I've dealt with preachers. I've dealt with, musicians. I've dealt with music people. What do you think about music people? I'd rather not say. But anyway. But here's what I've learned about people. Many times people from the platform, they like a crowd, but they don't like people. No, I've been there, folks. I'm old and gray-headed. They like a crowd, but they don't like people. They like an audience, but they don't like people. And, folks, God's called us to pour into people. One at a time. One at a time. The most important person in the world, one at a time. One at a time. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to stand here and preach the gospel to thousands if I don't share my faith one-on-one. No person should preach the gospel to thousands that one-on-one are not concerned about individuals and what they're going through. God keeps his promises. God said, I'll build my church. By the way, I'm almost done. Thank you, thank you. God has kept his word. This year on Easter, folks, our church goes back to 1852. I haven't always been the pastor. But on Easter, We had the largest crowd ever in the history of the church, 8,840 people. From 2018 to 2019, our average attendance has jumped by 1,000 people. 1,000 people jump in attendance in 1 year. Literally, we had a conference here this year. 800 people called Defy the Odds. We had churches from all over America that we took 2 days and we just poured into pastors. We just poured into lay people. We just poured into churches and said, all we want to do is help your church. You say, Pastor Benny, what about the small churches? Let me say this. Last year, the big church gave $400,000 just to help small churches around. $400,000 simply because we just wanted to help small churches. Now, there's some scriptures in Luke chapter 19. This is what it says. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Look, with a loud voice, for the mighty works they had seen. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees came among the multitude, said, Pastor, they're getting too loud. They're getting too out of control. They shouldn't act like that way. And Jesus said these words. I tell you, if these people hold their peace, those rocks will cry out and praise me. If those people hold their peace, those rocks will cry out and praise me. If those people hold their peace, those rocks will cry out. You know what God wants us to do? God doesn't want the rocks to cry out, but God does want us to look at the rocks. God wants us to look at the stones. God wants us to look at what God has done in our lives. And God wants us, ladies and gentlemen, to praise Him. God wants us to exalt Him. God wants us to lift Him up. Do you realize Psalms 150 and 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 47 and 1, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 136 and 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, the Bible says just what that sister right back there is doing. It says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I told the early service today, I'm done, I promise. I told the early service today, I said, I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing. But I just can't. I just can't sing. But the good thing is, I know it. Amen? And some people can't, and they just don't know it. I hear those people on American Idol trying out. And I think, God, where are their friends? Why don't somebody talk to them, amen? Why don't somebody tell them you're somewhere between bad and terrible? Stop. But if I could sing, I'd end by singing this song by Dottie Rambo. She's a lady from days gone by. This is what Dottie wrote. The things that I love, I hold dear to my heart. I want to stop right there. The things that I love, I hold dear to my heart. All I want you to do is process some things in your life that you love and you hold dear to your heart. Whatever they are. The things that I love and I hold dear to my heart. Now, let's read on. They are borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my day. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, Lord, I'm human. And humans, we forget. So remind me, dear Lord. I pray today, folks, maybe all I've done is stirred up your pure mind by the way of remembrance and reminded you of how good God's been to us. How good God's been to us.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.